Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Mac Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening and welcome back to An Adventure in History. I'm really excited about our guest tonight.
This is going to be great because we've wanted him on the air for a long time.
We've talked about it, and then I finally made the phone call.
Yeah.
Because I see Martin often, and we used to go to football games often.
Oh, I knew there was going to be a some kind of a sporting connection.
Go Beavs.
Go Beavs.
Go Beavs.
Yeah.
So we should not talk about ducks while we're here.
No.
Definitely not. All right. So because this is going to be great, we've got Martin Nygaard here. We're so excited and happy that you could come in. And we're just going to go through the history highlights really fast.
Let's do it.
Because we want to get to, you've led such an amazing, great life. We want to hear all about it. So let's jump right in here, though. These are things that happened tomorrow, July 25th, on this day, 1832, the first railroad accident that we know of.
Oh.
It was the first recorded railroad accident in U.S. history. It occurs when four people are thrown off a vacant car on the Granite Railway near Quincy, Massachusetts.
Huh.
One guy actually died. He was thrown off and he fell off a 34-foot cliff.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So 1850, gold is discovered in Oregon.
I saw that
one. The Rogue River.
Yep.
Gold.
That's a good one.
1897, we've talked about this. Jack London sails for the Klondike.
Oh.
And that's where he starts writing all of the great books that we love from him. 1898, U.S. forces invade Puerto Rico.
Oh.
No, that's no good. 1917, the dancer and spy Mata Hari is sentenced to die.
Ooh.
Not good to be a spy. 1943,
Benito.
Benito, that's a good clarification.
Yeah.
1943, Benito Mussolini falls from power. They actually, the council says you're done. And then he's arrested right afterwards. 1956, the Italian ocean liner Andrea Doria collides with the Swedish ocean liner Stockholm south of Nantucket, killing 51.
Ooh.
But our history highlight today, the thing I think had the most impact in history, just because it's kind of amazing science. 1978, the world's first test tube baby is born, Louise Joy Brown in Manchester, England.
I was definitely in mine.
Those wacky British.
We have a test tube baby. Carly is a test tube baby.
I did not know that.
And when she was younger, she actually told people that. I was created in a tube, or I was created in a petri dish, and I'm sure she had no idea what a petri dish or anything. And for those folks who aren't in the loop, that is IVF, so in vitro fertilization. Very, very cool. Okay. And there's a whole episode, or we should do a whole show on this, because I did read The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks this year.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing.
Which really, I mean, we celebrate this one woman who was the first baby, but it that science only exists because of Henrietta Lacks. Hela is what she was, you know, her name was cut down. So we'll come back to that because I'm very fascinated. And then one more, 1984, Svetlana Sidvinskaya becomes the first woman to perform a spacewalk.
Ooh, very I like cool. the space stuff. How did I miss that one?
I don't know.
I'm even more glad, though, learning about Carly that I chose that as the history highlight.
I know. That was a good one.
But somebody who's had lots of history highlights in his life. So we wanted you in here because you've been around for a long time and you've been involved in a lot of different things, but talk about where you were born and about your early childhood a little bit.
I was the Columbia Hospital was finished here in 1928. I was born in 1929 in the Columbia Hospital. We lived in Halem. My dad and uncle, Dad came to this country in 22. My uncle came in 23, and they formed the A&I Nygaard Rafting Company on the Nehalem.
Oh, wow.
And 10 years they were there. And then log trucks started getting engines and said Chevys and Fords and a lot more power. And they moved the company to Skipanon and Warrenton. And that was probably in 39 or 40. And I started working there when I was 15. And then when I was 25, most of the sawmills had dry land inventory. And Arrow Tug, Napton Tug, and the Chief. The Chief was Crown's tug. The other ones, too. There were several booms in the lower river here, and they towed the logs mostly up to Portland or Longview. Mm-hmm. So at 25, I was out of work. Well, I wasn't out of work, but there was just not much there. So I bought a timber sale, started logging. And then my wife and I, we collected pretty rocks we found, and then some silver dollars. And I told her, you know, they're not making any more land. I think we should buy a little bit of land. So in Brownsmead, a farmer and his wife died. They had three children, and they didn't live there and didn't want the farm in Brownsmead. They wanted the money in Portland or Seattle, wherever they went. So I bought a farm, and I was, I think, 50 acres on that one. And then about a year later, I bought another one in Brownsmead.
And did you farm this farm? Did
no.
You? No. Okay.
Logged the logs.
You did? Okay.
They both had logs.
There you go.
And I didn't do any farming there at all. Mm-hmm. And so life was pretty good. I was in the National Guard and a PFC got to that. But when I was going to school, I went to Pacific Lutheran my first year because all my credits didn't get to Oregon State, so I went to Pacific Lutheran, ran the half mile and the mile up there, and the mile, Eastern Washington, Central Washington, Western Washington, PLU, and Puget Sound. That's who we ran against. Mm-hmm. And there was only one person that beat me in the mile. I got it down to 4:14.
That's amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
And the reason I, when I was a junior in high school, they asked me if I wanted to teach at Astor, the 8th and 9th grade shop. I said, sure. $50 a month, big money in those days.
When you were in high school, they had you teaching.
Yeah, and Brick Graham, he was a teacher in the high school. And I told him, well, I'll be checking out, and I got to go to Astor and teach shop up there. Oh, no, you're not going to teach shop. What did you the next day he came to me, yeah, you're going to do that. Oh. He hadn't been told. He was a shop teacher at the high school. Mm-hmm. So those credits didn't get in my thing when I applied for Oregon State. So I went to Pacific Lutheran.
Okay.
And ran up there, and they had real nice coaches, Tomovic, and the basketball coach there went on to Washington State and then the University of Washington. And they were both PLU graduates and very good coaches, both of them.
Did you run when you were in high school as well? Were you running? You must have been running.
Yes, yeah. I was a 3-year letterman in track in high school.
Who else was running with you, or were they just way behind you? Can you remember any other like friends?
Well, Tommy Bumala. He went on to Oregon State and played football there for a while. Stan Grimberg, Gordy Wolfgram. He was really my best friend in school. He had a car. You go look into the high school here, there's lots of cars. In our senior year, Gordon Wolfgram, and his dad was a barber. Ron Trenholm. They both had cars. That's only two cars in our senior class.
Now, that wasn't why you were friends with him, was it?
Yeah. So that's high school. Mm-hmm. And grade school. I get back to grade school. I went 4 years to four, 3.5 years at Nehalem. And to get to the second grade, we had a swimming pool in the grade school. You had to learn to swim or you didn't get to the second grade.
Wow. I like that, though.
You could not know how to spell or how to do arithmetic, nothing, but you had to, because there was a couple of boys that drowned there, and that's why they built that swimming pool is still there in the grade school in Nehalem.
Wonderful.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
And then we moved to Seaside, and then to Warrenton, and then in the 7.5th grade, I went to John Jacob Astor Jr. High Rock. and then graduated from Astoria in 47.
So that was up on the hill where the college is now.
Up in the hill where the college is now, yeah. Yeah, there are only three grades there, sophomore, junior, and senior.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of your favorite classes?
Math.
Math, okay.
I took algebra 3 and 4 when I was a junior. And the math teacher, I think I knew more about math than she did, but Betsy Wooten was her name. And she just lived right across the street from the high school. I took that class when I was a junior. I took it again at Pacific Lutheran, same class. I took it again at Oregon State when I was a sophomore.
Easier and easier.
You got pretty good at it.
Yeah, I got pretty good at it. And were you going to say something?
Yeah. He's got lots to say.
Okay, and then I went to work on the boom and picked up bark and sold it because the old growth fir trees had bark and they'd come off in the spring. And then got to be maybe 18, and then my uncle Ingwall, he was rafting. I was between the bridges there in Warrenton. We had three sorts, hemlock, Prouty, and the middle at Westport, Shepherd Morris. Mm-hmm. And that was my job to get the logs. And then my dad was up here pushing them down the river. So.
And you were doing that when you were 15, 16, 17?
Well, I probably started doing that when I was 16 or 17.
Okay. And did you get paid? Or did they force you to do it?
That's another story. I got paid for delivering the Oregonian. I went to college, and 4 years of college cost me $4,000. And I paid my way all the way through. I get $50. Well, I got it from teaching school at Astor. I got it for a paper route. I got some money for when I sold the bark, and there was one pile. The guy, he left the pile there, and I think I sold it for $40 or something. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Is the price gone up?" I said, "No, it's the same price. You don't have to pay for it." And he gave me another $40.
Oh.
So, and anyway, I working there through high school and could save some money. I was getting, I worked at Fred Meyer's for some time, and we got Stan Grinberg and I, we were both working there in the basement. Girls sometimes tried to chase us down, but we were too dumb to get caught. And we got 35 cents an hour, but on Saturdays we worked 10 hours, so we got $3.50 there. Mm-hmm. And he died early. He had he worked on faucets and plumbing. Yeah, yeah. He had a plumbing business. Mm-hmm. And so now we're getting to where I had to do something different. Mm-hmm. And I bought a timber sale, and there was another company, Walgren Werle, W&W Logging. They were taking the bigger sales, and I was taking the smaller ones. And mm-hmm. and finally, in the end, I bought them out. Hmm. And because they were getting older, they were servicemen. Mm-hmm. I missed the war because I graduated in 47 and then graduated from Oregon State in 51. Mm-hmm. And so I still worked for my dad and uncle for about 4 years after I graduated. Mm-hmm. Joined the National Guard. And I get to make PFC and be kicked back to private PFC because I didn't attend enough meetings when I was going to college. Okay. And so I was PFC. And I took the 10 series to become an officer. Okay. I had stuff going back to Kansas City, back and forth and back and forth. And I went to Portland with my company commander, Jim Hope. He's born and he was in the service with the 41st Division in the South Pacific. And so we went up to Portland, he and I, to get to be a second lieutenant. Mm-hmm. That officer said, "We're not going to give you a second lieutenant, a private. You got to be at least a sergeant." So we came home, and he jumped me. I never was a corporal. He jumped me from PFC to staff sergeant, and we went back. Okay, I guess we got to do it. You did all the work, but we're going to change this. And then I had to be a 90-day wonder, go to Fort Benning for 90 days, mm-hmm. and that's what they called us, 90-day wonders. And because I think the second lieutenants were the first one killed in the battle, became a first lieutenant. And then I did some more stuff and got to be captain and company commander, Company L here, the 41st Division, for a while. And my best friend, Gordy Wolfgram, he got to be a captain too. And so I quit after 14 years, but he went on and stayed there 22 years. He had to go to his last 15 years to where they take your blood out and put it back in or whatever they do. And I never got sick, but all that was paid for, everything. And he had a wife that was sick. And she passed away, and then got another wife, and she was really bad. And but she's still alive. And
so tell us, where along the way did you meet your wife? Was she from here? Are you?
Yeah.
And remind
we
me.
We met when we went to high school.
Oh, okay.
Her name. Doris Wolfgren, Whetstone, and in the summertime when everybody else was going out, I was working, mm-hmm. And she went off to Oregon State, but only went there two terms, and then they ran out of money, and then when we got to be, when I got to be a senior at Oregon State, the 41st Division was, Colorado was called up and went to Korea. Mm-hmm. And the 41st was the next one to go. And so it's spring term, or spring break at Oregon State, we got married. Mm-hmm. So she'd get the $5,000 or whatever it was if I got killed over there. See?
I'm sure that's the only reason.
That was the only reason. So when did you start dating her, though? If you knew her in high school, were you dating in high school at all? Or?
Well, I don't know if we dated well, we go to a movie once in a while, maybe when we were seniors.
That's dating, Martin. That's dating. Yeah. Yes, that's okay. Dating.
That counts.
But I never learned how to dance or any of those things.
But she stuck with you anyways.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where'd you go to the movies?
Well, Liberty Theater. Okay. Yeah, once in a while we'd ride our bicycles from 38th Street. There's everything above the bridge on Franklin, that was all Norwegians. There's nothing but Norwegians up there. Might have been one or two oddballs
that snuck in somehow.
Yeah, and under 38th Street, there was a Larson and Olson, Dewis, and you could name almost any Norwegian name, and that's what our name, Nygaard, when his brother came to this country in 1894, that's where he lived up there, and I don't know how. There was buses in those days, but and he married a gal here in Astoria, and like I said, 14 years he was manager of Union Fish, and they had about 250. It's called Union. And about 250 fishermen and workers there that the Norwegian had, and they were all Finnish, almost all of them.
So what led them to move here to Astoria? Right. Why here? Why not someplace else? What led them to Astoria?
I don't know why he came here.
Okay,
but my. Oldest uncle, Ole, he called for him to come here in 10. And then Ole made enough money to get my dad in 22, and my dad got enough to get Engwall here, and they were partners from the time they were died. Engwall, he died when he was only... probably seven. He got cancer.
Oh, goodness.
70. My dad lived till he was 85.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah.
And so started logging. And like I said, I told my wife, there's not building any more land. And then we got 40 acres here and so... But we ended up buying a ranch in Madras, east of Madras, and that was 10,000 acres. Got it for $120,000, and we logging. I used to make a little bit of money, and here in the county, I probably got 3,000 acres. And mostly forest land. Mm-hmm. We got they're spread all over the county, and we got another 80 down in Tillamook County, and then about 15 years ago, got a grandson. He was going to be a dentist, and he went down to L.A., and they didn't take him, so he got to be a lawyer. And he says, I'm going to die, so we should turn everything over to my two sons, John and David. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. Do I get anything? Yeah, we'll give you 2% for all the sales, which never came about.
Oh, no.
We sold that piece of land where the schools are going in Warrington. One is already there.
Yeah, beautiful.
For $7.5 million. So, and we've sold other properties. Juana was trying to break us. And I don't think they can do it, but they put a chipper into Juana to compete with our chipper. Mm. So, and we used to get about 70 loads a day of pulp, and we chipped, and we'd do a couple barges a week, and now we're down to one barge a week, and which the logging is doing quite well. And
so what do you like about the business? Huh? What have you always liked about the business? What aspects of it? Because your company's done so much. So what kept you going?
Well, I suppose, well, I like to hunt for one thing. I just liked the business and tried to make a little money once in a while. And in 72, I sold out to Dent Russell. They had the mill in Warrington. And I was on the board of directors of that company. And then in 82, they were going broke. So I got out, bought my equipment, and started over again.
Oh, my gosh.
The boys are doing well. John's a very good logger. He started when he was probably following me around when he was a sophomore or junior in high school. And the minute he got out of high school, and you could get kids from Napa a lot, and I think Seaside, to become loggers. Now we had 150 employees. We're down, I think, now maybe 85 or 90.
Goodness.
Can't get anybody to want to work.
Interesting. Yeah.
What a wonderful presence you and your family has been in Clatsop County for a long, long time. And you have made an incredible impact. And we got to bring you back, I think, sometime.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot we didn't talk about. But thank you so much for joining us and for everything that you do in the community. And we'll have you back. But thanks for listening. Go make some history, and we'll catch you next week.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.